Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. A beautiful Sunday, August 14th. Beautifully hot and humid. Hopefully you're having fun out there. Inside, outside. Where else would you be? Inside or outside? Upside or downside? This is WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The guest today, Dr. Chris Winter. He is an expert on sleep medicine. Haven't seen Dr. Chris Winter yet. Hopefully he's on his way and we'll be here soon. He does have a family. You never know what family issues arrive when you're ready to go. But because this is the progressive voice of Charlottesville, we always have things to talk about. I want to know what is going on in the world. Because all you have to do is look in the news today to sort of take a deep breath and go, good grief. Is that really happening out there? So I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to Google. Let's Google. I'm going to Google Trump. Let's see. RNC considers cutting cash to Trump. I wonder how long ago they should have done that. Publicly, Republican Party officials continue to stand by Donald Trump. Privately, at the highest levels, party leaders have started talking about cutting off support to Trump in October. In October, it's mid-August, folks. This is from Politico, politico.com. So certainly one-sided, partially. Not completely, but partially one-sided. But why are they waiting until October if they're going to cut off funding to Donald Trump so that the funding can be given to all senators and representatives running on the Republican side so that they don't give money towards Donald Trump for the presidential race? Trump has only himself and his campaign to blame for his precipitous slide in the polls, according to people who have spoken with Republican leadership. But not being named in the article, I might add. Reporters from Politico and BuzzFeed were not invited to this meeting. Surprise. In the words of one person in the room, the message was that the RNC has, quote, all these staffers out there working and knocking on doors with a dead system they believe rivals with what Obama built in 2012. So it's not their fault. Let's have a substitute guest. Clinton from Homegrown. Does this qualify as entertainment to you? Because that's your specialty, right? Homegrown qualifies as entertainment.
Homegrown, I like to think that homegrown is art, and art can be entertaining, but our focus is art, and certainly there's not a lot of art going on in this. I find the moves of many of the political figures rather artless, as it were. it certainly is compelling, and it certainly grabs your attention. So I guess it's entertaining. It would be pleasantly entertaining if there weren't so many things at stake.
Let's look at some of, again, all I did was Google Trump to come up with some discussion today. We are hoping that Dr. Chris Winter, not because Clinton and Donald Trump aren't worthy of talking to and about, but, you know, Dr. Chris Winter, talking about sleep medicine. But again, family emergencies happen all the time. We're hoping that Dr. Winter can get here and join us. tweets. Let's get some of Donald Trump's recent tweets.
Indeed, because I believe that that is...
Is that art?
I believe that's the way he runs his whole campaign, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say he runs his whole campaign that way. It is certainly part of his campaign. I can't tell if these go in backwards chronological order or not. I believe so. So we'll start from the most recent one backwards from Donald Trump. My rallies are not covered properly by the media. They never discuss the real message and never show crowd size or enthusiasm. True or false? No answer, huh?
No answer.
If the disgusting and corrupt media covered me honestly and didn't put false meaning into the words I say, I would be beating Hillary by 20%. I wonder how many words, letters that adds up to, because he didn't use the words crooked in front of Hillary. He must run out of letters.
You know, it's good to provide some variety every once in a while. If you hit it crooked all the time, it ceases to have impact.
Let's skip a few.
And of course, the truth or the falseness of these claims isn't really as important as the effect that they have on his constituency, right? It's a question, and you know, it's something that we get from politicians, from all politicians. It's not about it's not about the content of what they say in terms of the truth. It's about the effect that they can get.
Again, Sunday morning wake up call here. It is 11:07 on Sunday morning. Dr. Chris Winter, scheduled guest today. At the moment, though, we're going through current events. Googled Donald Trump. Clinton from Homegrown just couldn't. He had to run back in and sit down. Because this is, we're discussing whether this is art and or entertainment.
And there's certainly, so I'm gonna backtrack on what I just said. I think there certainly is an art to this. In terms of crafting political speech, Donald Trump, whether it is through intention, experience, or just darn luck, is really, really quite effective, and it's really impressive to see what he does. You say truth or false? Is it true or false that the media is underreporting the level of people who come to his events and is underreporting the enthusiasm that they feel for him? Not important. Not important whether it's true or false. What's important
now, stay tuned
is
for the
underlying message that gets through, which is that there is a fix in, that there are powers above that are scheming against him. And it taps very, very deeply, I think, into feelings that not just his constituents have, but I think that a lot of Americans have, that the fix is in, that there are powers, that there are people, that there are agencies above them with their own agendas that are working with no regard to the concerns of quote-unquote normal people, or even to their detriment.
That is, I mean, it's an art, but again, not all art is appealing.
Certainly not.
And that
certainly is... but art doesn't need to be appealing. Art only needs to be effective.
But isn't that one of the... Or it's certainly one of my concerns at the moment, is that this race, and not just this race, not just this race for president in 2016, but it has over time that the political races have become an art where it is just about being effective. Or certainly the race to win has become a major the part about being effective and winning has become a major part of it, more so than the person having the capability of doing the job. And that is what is making me ill.
Well, certainly the idea of a presidential candidate needing to craft themselves, be playing a character, as it were, being an actor who plays a character, as it were, is nothing new. You can go all the way back to Jackson's presidency to find...
A little history.
A little history there. You can go all the way back to Jackson's presidency to find, I think, the first instance of trying to craft a candidate who was actually rather well-to-do, really connected with aristocracy of his area, as a good old-fashioned down-home everyman that people could access. And that's something that you see for generations and generations among politics and presidency. Whether or not today we have, that as a cover for lack of ability, hard to say.
Again, another tweet. The failing New York Times, which never spoke to me, keeps saying that I am saying to advisors that I will change. False. I am who I am. Never said.
I think part of what we're certainly seeing, and again, so hit that tweet again. Read that tweet again.
The failing New York Times, which never spoke to me, keeps saying that I am saying to advisors that I will change. False. I am who I am. Never said.
So you have to admire how many messages he gets out in just that small amount. One, failing New York Times. Great. I mean, just from a writer's perspective, it's really nicely condensed. Failing New York Times, right off the bat, he gets a slap into the New York Times. Not just a slap against them, but a slap that suggests discrediting them, right? The suggestion right there, just in those few words, is if the New York Times were anything to be considered, if the New York Times were anything that we should pay attention to, if the New York Times were anything that put out something credible, then they wouldn't be failing. Boom.
Gosh, the screen in front of me is going crazy. He must be, there are so many people, I'm sure because they're listening to the wake-up call, going through hitting the Trump and, like, you know, tweeting at Donald J. Trump. Real. Is it real Donald J. Trump? Again, Sunday morning wake-up call here. Our scheduled guest, Chris Winter, not here at the moment. Not sure if he's unable to make it. Haven't checked my email or phone. But we're talking about politics. All we did was Google Trump. I thought, well, that'll get some conversation going. And Clinton from Homegrown had to run back in. Conversation about art or entertainment or in my case, near vomit. Let's see what we got. Because he's been in Pennsylvania recently. Let's see if I can one that doesn't have all the... my economic policy speech will be carried live at 12:15. Enjoy. Yeah. I don't think there was much enjoyment about that. Oh, the media is going crazy. They totally distort so many things on purpose. Crimea, nuclear, quotes, the baby, and so much more. Very dishonest. Are you familiar with any of that? So the baby, or do you know what we're talking about that topic?
I don't know what we're talking about.
So there was an incident, I believe it was in Northern Virginia, where he was at one of his rallies.
Oh,
and
a
baby was crying, and he made reference to the fact that he, you know, I love babies. And then as the baby continued to cry for about 10 minutes, he said.
He said, get that baby
right. He's like, I don't really love babies. Get that baby out of here. And so he got some grief for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they interviewed the woman who was at the rally, and she said, oh, he was just kidding and joking, and I'm still going to, you know, support him and vote for him. Do you believe that? Now, there are certainly, we've heard what the Republican Party, the Republican politicians are saying. There are more and more that we hear every day. I started by talking about the Republican National RNC. What does C stand for again?
Committee.
Committee. I was thinking of a different word that wasn't polite to say on air. But how some of them are being called for, you know, don't give him any more funding. Give the funding to the senators and the House of Representatives folks who are really running for office. Don't spend any more on him. And so some of the politicians are not supporting him or are even saying, I'm not supporting him, rather than just being quiet. But the folks who are going to the rallies, whatever he says, that's what they are. That's what they're going for. He says, build a wall, we're building a wall. He says, I was just joking about building a wall. He was just joking about building a wall.
Yeah, well, I do not envy the choice before Republican politicians right now, because, you know, of course, politicians, the whole goal for them is to go where the wind blows. Like, if there's a trend that they can jump on, if there's something that the people are excited about that they can hook their cart to, smart politics, basic politics 101 says, you know, as long as it's in the line in not even in message, because you can even go off message if it's strong enough, but as long as it's in the line of your constituency, jump on that sucker and try to get with it. So here's this problem that these Republicans have, where you've got someone who has got this following, right? An unmistakable, and as you can say, and as you said, not just an unmistakable following, but a loyal following. And if it's a loyal following that they believe are going to vote, that's something that can't be ignored. And yet it is a figure whom I think many believe are toxic, and whom some may actually have a sincere moral problem with. This is one of the things. I mean, it's weird to talk. It's weird to talk this way, and I hope people will forgive my emotional detachment and cynicism. But if there's one thing to thank Donald Trump for, is he may have actually given us, he may have been enough of an impulse to actually allow us to see completely unvarnished reactions from politicians, which is astounding.
Yeah, that's something that I hadn't thought of, and I'm not sure that I believe that wholeheartedly, but I think I need
really?
To percolate that a little.
When was the last time you saw a politician take an ethical or moral stand to something that wasn't also feeding into an agenda?
11:19 here on the wake up call, talking about Trump mostly here on the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville, but doing politics. My reply to that is that I'm not sure that I have seen that, an unvarnished reply, because we still have other than Republicans who have nothing to lose. The only Republicans that I have seen or heard stand up and say, I am not voting for him, I cannot vote for him, I will not vote for him, are those who are not running again in the next election.
Mm.
People who are retiring, people who have lost their primary or you know, whatever, people who are not on not on the card this November. Now,
right, so you say, so you're saying that you haven't seen any Republicans who have something at stake, who have been willing to risk something.
That's correct. Now, I do believe that there are people who are showing hints, even major hints and flaws in their thinking, because you want to talk about the some folks in the system now, Paul Ryan, who takes weeks and weeks to actually stand behind Donald Trump, who now regularly says, well, I don't agree with what he said, and things of that sort, not saying I support the Republican nominee. I think that shows what his true belief is. But he's not coming out and saying he's wrong and we shouldn't support him because of his behavior and his statements. And so that's why I disagree with what you're saying. I believe that we're scratching off a little bit. It's like that old bit of dried paint that you need to get your fingernail into, and that's how you get started on it. You have to, it won't come off with the varnish. It won't come, you know, it won't come off with the paint cleaner. You have to, that's the one you have to just scratch, you know, but it's amazing to me because I believe, and gosh, I hope I'm wrong, that on the November 8th, I believe, is election night.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have fires. I think they're, because I believe that both sides have so turned each other against them that if Donald Trump wins, we will have serious problems. And I think what's more likely is that Hillary Clinton will win, and Donald Trump is now firing his supporters up, that she is crooked, that she belongs in jail because she's a murderer, that in some states he can't possibly win in Pennsylvania, and so therefore the system is rigged, that there will be cars will be burned, and
see,
that there will
I
be.
I think that you, after, I if, so I think 17 years ago, I may have agreed with you. But after the election of 2000, I think that you cannot underestimate the American public's, I think you cannot underestimate the American public's commitment to status quo. And to accepting what comes down the pike. I mean, first of all, keep in mind that although this seems to be something big, that this seems to be something earth-shattering, that this seems to be something that is gripping the nation, realistically, no more than 40% of the American public votes.
Right, and it only takes one person to start a fire to get another five people out there dancing around it.
That means that there are 60% of the people, 60% of the populace that either can't vote, won't vote, or can't be bothered.
Agreed.
By the consideration.
I'll agree with you on that.
Right. So, and like I said, looking at the election of, 2000, which was so shady, which just felt so wrong, And you would think that if there was going to be anything that would send people into the street, you think there was going to be anything that would cause uprisings, it would be something like that. But no, the next day people just said, oh, okay, well, I guess this is the new president now, and just went along with it.
11:24 here on the wake up call. We're not sleeping. We're not talking about sleep or sleep medicine. Dr. Chris Winter, unable to be here at this time. So we're talking about politics because that's what WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville, does. So we Googled Trump and Clinton from Homegrown came running back inside to talk about whether this is art, entertainment, both, or just pure illness. And back in action here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. It's a beautiful Sunday outside. It is a little toasty warm. I'm going to confirm that weather with Jeff Leonard, who just stepped inside. Clinton, I'm going to have to go to work. You know, if we elect the right people, maybe Clinton can sit around all day and lounge and just enjoy a nice, steamy, hot Sunday. But Jeff, is it hot outside?
It is quite hot. One of these odd benefits you get of working around here at 94.7 WPVC is we don't pay a whole lot. So everyone has to have a second job.
As a volunteer radio station, yeah, it works like that, doesn't it?
I have two other jobs. Clinton has at least two other jobs. He's off to one of them. So I'm happy to be here. And yes, it's brutal outside right now. We're off to actually Saca, South Fork after this. Our son has a, not yours and my son, but our son has a game at 1 o'clock, which I could only imagine how hot 12-year-old children would be running around the in the bright sunshine.
Ugh, that sounds miserable. You know, we are continuing to talk about current events. I Googled Trump, and, you know, as you can expect, that brought up a lot of interesting things. Because before Clinton left, I thought, well, let's stick with the entertainment aspect. So I'm going to bring this up anyway, even though you're not a host of Homegrown for arts and entertainment, but Robert De Niro came out and said that Donald Trump is totally nuts.
I think there have been some calls for mental health evaluations on his part. I think Americans sort of accept a certain narcissism within their political structure. I think you have to be. I think Obama has some of this too. I think you have to be a me person to get out there in front of everybody. You have to be a narcissist to be on the radio. You really have to have a strong sense of self-worth to stand in front of somebody and say, please vote for me. But I think with, you know, when you add too much salt to the recipe, it's going to spoil it. I think he's gone beyond what is normally expected of absolutism.
What do you think about his statements that the election is going to be rigged and so there's no way he can win?
Well, I think it's a pattern for him. I think he spent a considerable amount of time delegitimizing the Obama administration. I think his birther nonsense spent an inordinate amount of time. You know, we've got people in Hawaii. You're going to be shocked what they found. I never heard what they found. He's delegitimizing Obama. Now he's delegitimizing in the future the inevitable results of these elections. And so he's forecasting delegitimization, which I didn't know you could do. But apparently this carnival barker is good at it.
He has, you know, one of the things that gets me the most about the situation is that it is two-sided. I find it so difficult to just hammer Donald Trump. I realize where I am. I'm on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. But I'm so disappointed in my options because it's not that I don't have faith that Hillary Clinton is a better choice than Donald Trump. It's that she regularly makes stupid mistakes that drive me insane, proving the fact that she wasn't a good choice and we could have done better a long time ago. What's the name? Because I shut down and turned away from the TV as soon as I saw it. The name of the woman who was in charge of the Democratic National...
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Okay. So she's caught and called out for rigging the system so that Hillary Clinton will win. Whether Clinton would have won or not can be debated. I think many people would say that she would have, but she's... Wasserman Schultz is called out for rigging the system or trying to through her emails that are found, and she steps down.
Well, she stacked the deck. Clearly, she stacked the deck in favor of her friend and longtime ally.
And then what does Ms. Clinton do? She hires her and brings her onto her team.
So,
do you not understand what people are complaining about? They're complaining about how you regularly do bad things. You keep emails hidden by putting them on your own server. It just makes me pull my hair out that somebody is caught not asking, is she doing something bad? We can't find it because we can't see the emails, but we have the emails. The woman did something bad. She did something. Oh, well, I'm sorry she did that. Come work for me.
Yeah, I think, and I do not speak for the Democratic Party, as you've interviewed me previously before, and one of the things I have in running this radio station is the Democrats really haven't come out strongly to support us, so I don't speak for the Democrats, nor do they speak for me. I was surprised that they came to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's defense to the extent that they did once that sort of cooking the books was discovered. What they did was they said, well, of course they supported Hillary Clinton because Bernie Sanders never was a Democrat. He's caucused with the Democrats, but he's always identified as an independent. He's always identified as a Democratic Socialist, but he hasn't been a member of the Democratic Party. So it's natural that the Democrats would support one of their own. I don't buy it. I think we're better. I think all things being equal, we should have a debate of ideas, and whoever gets the most votes wins. Whoever makes the most splash wins. I think in the end, do I think the outcome would have been different? I don't think so. I think Hillary Clinton represents the status quo. I think she represents Wall Street. I think she represents all of the business interests, moderate, middle of the road. I mean, she's a Republican.
Yes.
She's not.
She's a mild Republican.
She is Ronald Reagan. I mean, her stances and Ronald Reagan's stances aren't that dissimilar on a whole lot of issues.
She's got one foot between the yellow lines and the other foot on the Republican side of the yellow lines.
So when there were 16 or 17 Republican people running for their nomination, the joke I would always ask was, if you are a Wall Street Republican, who is your candidate? Who is the candidate you trust to handle the reins of Wall Street too? And the answer is Hillary Clinton, because she was the Republican running as a Wall Street. She's Wall Street's person at the moment. And just wait till all the money is about to start flowing out. So she'll clean up. She'll do fine.
11:33 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our scheduled guest today, Dr. Chris Winter, unable to make it. So we're Googling some political words and phrases and carrying on with that, because 94.7 WPVC is the progressive voice of Charlottesville, although Sunday Morning Wake Up Call has no problem hammering some folks who are pretending to be progressive on occasion. Jeff Leonard here with us as we sort of back and forth on some political topics. You know, there are plenty of folks who bring up old photos of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, you know, arms around one another at fundraisers in the past, saying, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. They're all friends anyway. This is just a farce to get the Clintons.
I wonder if he's really trying not to lose. I wonder if he's really trying not to be kicked out. I don't know what. Nothing that he does makes sense to me. I don't. You know, there was an opinion piece I think it was a Charlotte Observer that we posted on our Facebook page about an Onion type piece where Donald Trump was talking about how he duped all the Republicans and how it really is
right, because they would believe anything he said.
Exactly.
And
he said that.
Yeah.
He said, I would run as a Republican because they are so naive that I could say the most outlandish things and they would come to my. He's a carnival barker, and he is throwing them red meat, and they are lapping it up. You were talking last half hour with Clinton about Paul Ryan and his tepid, and we call it a tepid support for Mr. Trump. Paul Ryan.
Tepid has a little bit of warm water to it.
Paul Ryan refuses to have his picture taken with Donald Trump. Look, I mean, Donald Trump went to Wisconsin 2 weeks ago. Paul Ryan didn't show up. Scott Walker didn't show up. Yeah. No, I mean, Wisconsin is the home for the establishment Republicans. The Republican Party right now is run from Wisconsin. None of them were there. None of them came out to support Donald Trump. I'm flummoxed. I think what it's going to take for people, what I consider to be reasonable Republicans, who I have several friends that are, I've given money to reasonable Republicans. I thought John Warner was a very reasonable Republican. I miss those days. I think it's going to take a tipping point of some well-respected, reasonable Republican to come out and say, enough's enough. It'll create a tipping point, and then everyone's just going to jump off the bandwagon, and they're just going to say, all right, this embarrassment has gone on long enough.
But what happens after that? I mean, so let's say that happens, and let's give Paul Ryan the benefit of the doubt. We'll give him the hat and put him on it as the leader in the charge of, you know, he is supposedly the leader. Who else is going to do it? Or at least that would, where people would follow.
He is the lead ranking Republican in the country
if the dork from Oklahoma who has to bring snowballs into the House and say this is proof that there's no climate change. I mean, I think Paul Ryan would have to be one of the three or four, or maybe five Republicans that would actually take the step that would lead to the tipping point.
I think they will. I think, well, I wouldn't be surprised.
What happens after that?
What happens after that is guys like Tom Garrett. Let's keep it local. Tom Garrett's running against Jane Dittmer. Tom Garrett is, I probably won't be voting for Mr. Garrett. But you look at Tom Garrett, everywhere he goes, he's going to be faced with the question. He has adamantly said, I'm a Republican. I support Donald Trump. So that then begets the question, well, do you think he was threatening to kill Hillary Clinton? Or do you think Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are the founder of ISIS? He is so off message having to defend the leader of his party that when they finally realize that they're going to lose the Senate and the House, they're going to lose a bunch of seats in the House, it'll free up all those people like Tom Garrett that they don't have to dance with the date that they brought any longer. They can actually run on their own merits rather than playing defense from some crazy man at the top of the ticket.
I understand that. I understand that. That goes back to what we started with at the very top of the hour, which is the RNC, you know, being asked in October. I don't understand that point. The conversation that was had amongst these people in some secret meeting, not so secret, but not reported on, or not detail reported upon. Supposedly, maybe in October, the RNC will stop funding Donald Trump and will just give the money to the senators and the House representatives to do their thing, their electoral choices. I don't know why wait until October. But do you give up? Do you sweep Trump under the, you know, under the rug? Do you take him away and put up a new candidate? You know, do you rewrite the rules? Do you form another party like happened in the 50s?
Parties cut and run all the time. I mean, if you are a Senate candidate, they don't do it on the massive scale that we're talking about, but if you're a Senate candidate and you're down 10 or 12 points in the coming up, going into the election, they're not going to give you any more money. Republicans are a lot of things, but RNC is not dumb. They're not going to throw good money after
bad.
Well,
I think they're proving that to not be, you know, that's...
They're walking a tightrope. They've got their base. They've got lower-educated, angry white males, okay, who have historically been their base. And they are riled up for Donald Trump. So they're trying to figure out, how do we maintain that base and save credibility and save face? And the day they figure that out is the day I think you see them step back away from Donald Trump.
Well, they've had 8 years and they haven't done it yet. 11:40 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, trying to figure out why some people are so smart and some people are so stupid in the 2016 presidential race. Give us just a second. We'll come back and keep working on that. And back in action here. Scheduled show not taking place with Dr. Chris Winter. Gives us the option here on Sunday morning wake-up call to chat politics
And I can raise my voice and shake my fist a little bit that I wouldn't get to do as we talked about sleep therapy and sleep medicine, or I might have dozed off. Jeff Leonard here with us today. Clinton came in and talked about art and entertainment part of politics. Jeff's here to tell me, try and explain to me how in the world this all makes sense. And so far, not done, but 20 minutes left to go and help make this happen. While we were doing that quick break, Jeff asked me what I thought about Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine, vice presidential candidate under Hillary Clinton.
I love Tim.
You guys go way back.
Well, I will tell you, Senator Kaine, I apologize, we're not that close. So Bruce Springsteen was in town last 3 or 4 years ago, and he was doing a fundraiser, or at least an event, for Barack Obama. And Tim Kaine was running for re-election, and Tim Kaine came out there, and he was it was down at the downtown mall, at the amphitheater down there, or the pavilion. And Tim Kaine came out and gave a little speech, and then Bruce Springsteen and Tim Kaine was talking about, you know, growing up, listening to, as we all did, people our age, you know, white males in their 40s, perhaps 50, listen to Thunder Road. You know, we listened to Bruce Springsteen sort of wrote the anthem for our youth. And then he was talking about Thunder Road. Then Bruce Springsteen comes out and says, "Tim, this is for you," and does an unbelievable acoustic version of Thunder Road at the Intellos or the Sprint Pavilion downtown. And Tim Kaine comes out and had goosebumps and practically had tears in his eyes, saying, if anybody ever sees me complain about the campaign trail again, remind me of this moment, because Bruce Springsteen just sung Thunder Road for me. So I think that proves sort of a human side of him. I don't know, and I like him, and I voted for him for governor. I voted for him for senator. I continue to support him. I'm not 100% sure he was Hillary Clinton's best pick to cement sort of the left wing of the Democratic Party. I think the calculus came down to, who am I going to get more votes by choosing, Elizabeth Warren or Tim Kaine? And whatever calculus they ran through, I think they came that Tim Kaine was going to get them more votes. And once they made that determination, Tim Kaine got the nod.
What do you think about the comments in, I believe it was North Carolina, about maybe the Second Amendment folks can take care of things? Did you, when you heard that on the news before, because the way I remember hearing it was the report about, here's what Donald Trump said, there in the quote, and my reaction in my head before the reaction from the NPR folks. What was your reaction?
I know exactly.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was a joke. I don't think he intended to have some wacko kill Hillary Clinton. But I think it was an entirely inappropriate, ridiculous, bombastic, off-the-cuff remark. I know exactly what he was saying. He was riling up these angry white armed males. And I don't think he was calling for her to be killed. I just don't think he gave it much thought. And I think if he would have just apologized, but he's incapable of apologizing.
That would have been the news.
Is that,
right? Donald Trump apologizes,
but he can't show weakness. Well, they asked George Bush II, "What have you done wrong?" "Oh, I don't make mistakes. In hindsight, I've done nothing wrong." So it's hubris. So when I heard Donald Trump very clearly insinuate that people with guns will have an opportunity to affect the outcome of this election, and you can take that whichever way you want to take it, I know the way I heard it was, "Oh my God, I've got friends in law enforcement. I've got friends in the Secret Service. If I am married to a Secret Service agent, if I am a Secret Service agent or care about someone who is, I am so unbelievably angry at Donald Trump because he just put my loved one, my brother, my sister, my wife, or my husband in harm's way. He just upped the threat level against Secretary Clinton to the point where someone very possibly could be killed or at least he could be calling for that. And yeah, I think Bill Clinton said this. I've been looking for the quote, but when we speak, especially with that sort of microphone, we need to keep in mind we speak to the well and the unwell alike. I mean, that's how Gabby Giffords got shot. I mean, when they put a target over her district and over her face, saying these are our hit list. That guy knew when that guy took the message, I need to go kill her. And those people are out there. And when you speak, you're speaking directly to them, or you're speaking to me and you who are just like, oh, this buffoon said something stupid again. So you're putting these people in harm's way, and it's not just a candidate. It's people in law enforcement that are required to protect these individuals.
Yeah, that's, I mean, when I heard the comment, my initial thought was, good grief. Doesn't he realize that there's some idiot who's going to take that seriously? And I really, I mean, you and I are on point with that, which is he has no, he doesn't seem to think through. He talks so immediate, you know, whatever flies, it's very, you know, I don't have kids, but whatever grade level you want to talk about, the ones who just speak without thinking where, you know, who's going to be hurt or how in trouble they might get or even, if I say that, then I'm going to have to clean my room versus.
You know who the devil in all this is? The human being who I loathe, and I don't take that lightly, is Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani is an awful human being. When Rudy Giuliani was interviewed on, I think it was CNN, and asked about this comment, he said, clearly he wasn't talking about shooting Senator Clinton, because had he talked about shooting Senator Clinton, they would have all cheered. What in the world are you talking about, you evil little man? You can't, you know, just say you're sorry and move on. Trump is, his idols growing up were the carnival barkers, were the three-ring circus microphone men, because they were able to read the temperature of an audience, adapt their pitch, and deliver so everyone, the greatest show on earth, everyone that went home had a great time. And that's the area in which he came up in. And that's what he's trying to do now. He just can't rein it in enough to realize he's trying to be president.
11:48 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. Talking politics. Jeff Leonard here with us. Hang tight. And just a few minutes left today. Dr. Chris Winter, scheduled guest, unable to make it in. We'll do something else another time, talking about sleep medicine. But Jeff Leonard here with us. Clinton from Homegrown here earlier in the hours. We're just talking about politics. We started by Googling Trump, and certainly that got us off on an entertaining foot. You know, Jeff, one of the things people, when you get into the conversation, it's difficult because people have already picked sides, and you don't find people who need to think through the topics. Nobody wants to read the economic policy of either person to decide who they're going to vote for. People have already made up their mind, and they've made up their mind pretty strongly. And I have some friends is the right word. But I know some folks who I converse with on a regular basis who are voting for Donald Trump. And the question one day was, I don't see how you can vote for Hillary Clinton. And my reply was, you know what? Here's what bothers me about Donald Trump. And Joe Biden said it really well in his speech. Have you ever been told you're fired? It's one of the most difficult things anybody can ever say or anybody can ever hear. And Donald Trump got pleasure out of that. And, you know, it just upsets me. It upsets my stomach. It brings that sour acid in me from the inside out to think that this man makes other people happy
and makes them cheer and gets them excited to put up a wall and shut people out and all the things, so many of the things that he wants that make other people excited that upset me, and that there's a large, even if it's diminishing, there's a large fraction in this country that want that. That bothers me. And I hear about it every day in the news, whether you want to read the paper, whether you want to go online, whether you listen to the radio. It's bothersome. And it hurts me to know that the country is like this, and it seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, I don't necessarily blame Donald Trump for that.
No, I don't think you can.
I blame Americans.
But he is currently the picture of it, and I think that he is making some people who would be down in the shadowy corner come up and stand tall and feel as though it's okay to do these evil, nasty things.
Yeah, Robert Reich, who we play his stuff here on the radio station occasionally, essentially called Donald Trump an intellectual prostitute. He said he really has no intellectual or affiliation to any one thing. He just goes with whatever's current, whatever he can make a dollar off of. And right now he's seeing that these disaffected, angry, lower-educated white males are struggling in our economy, and he is speaking right to them. And he gets back at the man. He stands up and waves his fist. And I completely agree with you that this is dangerous. And two, it just says something about a cross section of our society that really isn't pretty. You know, people are, you know, let's say you're a Klansman or you're a white nationalist. You know, has this campaign come toward your way of thinking or gone away from your way of thinking? I think you're hearing some things in there in your dog whistle code words that you're like, yeah, he's with us. I understand. So if you're a moderate Wall Street Republican or a Chamber of Commerce Republican, you're seeing these people say things that are completely drifting away from your way of thinking. And the standard thing is, well, Republicans want to shrink government. No, they don't. The Republicans don't shrink government. George Bush exploded government. I mean, the General Assembly in Virginia, it gets bigger every year. It doesn't go down. What they're arguing over is...
It just moves from one category to another.
It's power. And they want to be able to wield the power of government to suit their whims and wishes. They don't want to... So you think Donald Trump or any Republican or any Democrat is going to go into the presidency and say, I'm going to lessen the power of the presidency? No, they're going to go in there and wield it to the maximum benefit for them, their supporters, their friends, and their belief systems. If you think Republicans are going to shrink government, you have bought into a narrative that is fictitious.
Oh my, 11:55 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call, 94.7 WPVC. This is the progressive voice of Charlottesville, which is why we're reminding you that the Republicans want the power and the progressive Democrats want it for the people.
Well, it's a battle. If you are a Republican, and Coy Barefoot heard Mondays 4 to 7 on this radio station, 4 to 6, sorry, Coy.
Stretch that hour, Coy.
We need you, Coy. So it's a battle of welfare. Who do you believe deserves the welfare? If you are a Republican, you believe in corporate welfare. Dominion Power, Duke Energy, they're building a pipeline through private people's, you know, you did a great show on the pipeline. You know, they want to allow people to just take away landowners' rights to build a pipeline that they don't want. So if you believe in corporate welfare, you're a Republican. If you believe in individual welfare, food stamps, job security, Social Security, unemployment insurance, then you're a Democrat. But you're either a corporate welfarist or you're an individual welfarist. And there's really – so you're right. people are arguing over this non-existent middle. You know, who are the undecideds? Who is undecided in this vote? The only undecided Republicans I've talked to are either going to vote for Gary Johnson, Libertarian candidate, or for Donald Trump, or they're not going to vote at all. That's their only indecision point. So then it becomes a question of get out the vote. Who can turn up the most, the biggest base?
Right. And then there are a fair, I mean, they're not a large number, but you regularly run into groups of people. Oftentimes, as we've mentioned several times now in the hour, it is 11:57 on the wake up call. Talking politics. Sorry about the scheduled show. We'll get to that another Sunday. Where we talk, we've been talking about how Donald Trump has the poor white base, about how a lot of times the Democrats want to go after that in small numbers and say, what you're arguing for is not who you are.
No, it's totally against their own economic self-interest.
Right. When you want to cut government, that hurts what you need.
So they have to overlay racial connotations. They have to say, well, you may be a poor white person, but you're nowhere near as bad as that poor black person. And that's the game, the Southern strategy. That's the Southern strategy. That's the game they've been playing for years. So in the last minute, I want to take, if you don't mind, since it's your show, can I defend Hillary Clinton for a second? Hillary Clinton, if someone says, ha ha, Hillary Clinton, you know, her husband cheated on her, she's a victim. Stop victim bashing. If you victim bash, you are no friend of mine, and I want nothing to do with you. She did what I would consider, or some people who read the Bible, the Christian thing to do. She forgave her husband and stayed with him, which I think is what the Bible should tell you to do. And yet these Christians are coming out for this huckster. So one more thing about Hillary Clinton. She is, I challenge anyone listening or across the country to name a person more investigated than Hillary Clinton or her husband, Bill Clinton. I joke that the Republicans right now in the House of Representatives are putting together a Hillary Clinton impeachment committee because they've already detected some things that she's already done that are impeachable as president of the United States. Who's that guy, Gowdy, who did the Benghazi commission? Good Lord, he spent $50 million and came up with nothing. And you can't tell people that.
Well, you know, historian or Coy Barefoot, or who I guess is a historian in many ways, but it goes back to as soon as Obama was elected, the Republicans got together and had a meeting and said, we're going to not let anything pass.
So the objective of that was,
it was Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell said, our main focus is not to give Barack Obama a second 4-year term. I don't know about you, but I would have hoped their main focus would have been, oh, I don't know, the economy, national defense, something other than tearing down a man that they don't like.
I don't like saying that I'm a Democrat. I don't. It's not because I don't believe in what the Democrats believe in. I just don't feel the need to mark myself that way. I'd rather mark myself with saying that I would like everyone to have health insurance, and I would like to have as many people who want to have a place to sleep at night as possible. And I would like folks to have food and things. And it's sad for me to find that that has to be only or mostly the mark of one political party.
It was a big twist. So in order for individuals to not want to support, to go against basically their religion, is to, you have to come to a position where you hate and blame the poor. You have to hate and blame the poor that they are responsible for their own predicament and circumstance, not mental illness, not substance abuse, not disadvantaged economic times, economic opportunity. You have to hate the poor so that you can step over them on the side of the street. And somehow one of our parties has gotten to that position.
Jeff, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
As well as thanks for Clinton for the first half of the hour. We'll get Dr. Winter in here another time for a different show about sleep medicine. Hopefully you enjoyed politics. We'll see you on the podcast, cvillepodcast.com. Next week, Sean McCord will be here. Thanks, everybody.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, heating oil and propane for your home or business, and the award-winning Markets of Tiger Fuel, with 6 area locations.